We're happy to have the next couple of guys here in our studio because they did a great performance with Pierre at a Pierre's Presents event in 2017 at the Ardmore Music Hall. We had mentioned that we were going to have the band in today, and Pierre said, you'll never fit them all in the studio. But we have two of the band members. There's eight altogether, I believe. But we want to welcome from the Revivalists, we have Dave and Zach, who are here. Morning, gents. Thanks for coming in. Did I get that right? Eight members altogether?
Yeah.
Wow. Does that mean, and we need to bring up their volume a little bit, Rodney. I can barely hear them on the mic. Is that a good thing? We having eight guys in a band? Does it get
sometimes?
Yeah,
sometimes. Yeah, I think for the most part, it's amazing because you know it's like somebody starts falling down, you got another guy to pick up the slack.
There
and
you
keep
go,
rolling with it. You know, yeah. So it's good,
and it's the sound you deliver. You're delivering a fuller sound. You need that.
Yeah.
So
we got a horn section. We got two drummers, pedal steel guitar. We don't need all that stuff, but we like it. You know?
Yeah, right. And listen, it also includes if there's a bathroom issue in the middle of a show, somebody can pick up.
That has happened to me before.
I started speeding. You know, it's a kind of an acoustic ballad that we were doing one time, and I'm playing guitar and Dave is singing, and I'm like, oh my god, I really gotta go. I start speeding up at the end of the song, you know, finish it real as quickly as possible and run off stage.
I always thought that'd be a cool, like a large band. We used to see like Earth, Wind and Fire on stage. Yeah, there's all this stuff going on. I just think the energy mounts exponentially, especially with the kind of music you guys play. That has an infectious element to it. And that's and there's a fraternal thing going on there, I assume, as well.
There is, definitely.
We like a fraternity. We haze each other also.
Do you? Yeah. What is the most obscene level of hazing?
Elephant walking.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a trunk tree.
Okay.
You've seen Elephant.
It's a stunt show. You know what I mean? We don't
Google
need
it after the interview.
Human centipede? You do that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I
hot
listen,
heavy in the morning.
It's got to be great, especially having fun with each other when you guys are on the road. When I assume you're all piled into a bus or something like that, or a couple of them probably.
Yeah.
And you got to have some fun while you're traveling around.
We have fun and we're friends and in real life too. We don't just play it on TV, you know. So
that's cool.
Well, so you guys were the first ones, right? You met. Somebody was riding a bike. When I first read the sentence, I thought you guys were like childhood friends, right? Because I'm like, who was it? Zach was riding his bike.
He's riding his little tricycle down the road.
I was 20, you know.
But no, you were a full-grown adult, and you were riding your bike, and you came across Dave, and he was playing his guitar, and so what happened next?
I mean, he was playing his guitar, and he was singing, and like he was like really like putting it out there, like belting.
Where was he?
In New Orleans. We were in New Orleans.
On the street?
On his
or?
Front porch.
Okay.
On the front porch.
Yeah, in a quiet neighborhood. And I was just like, this guy sounds great. I'm this is cool. Like, nobody's around. He's just killing it. So I stopped and listened, and you know, we struck up a conversation, and that's what led to us playing with each other and this band.
That's like the greatest story ever, really.
Well, it's happenstance but there was something behind it. You talk about the odds. You could have gone down another street and ended up in the Spice Girls. So there you go.
You know. Well, there's
it
a lot
might
of
not have been the worst
like
thing.
That, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's very cool. So as adding members to the band or as the band grew, was that a product of what you were composing? We need a this player, or we needed that player, or that did just people come your way and you said we can add and then expand that way?
You know, honestly, it happened as organically as it could possibly happen.
Really?
It was like Zach was in a class with Rob. They were lab partners.
Who's our saxophone player? It was a lot of like, we know this guy, he's good. Let's have him sit in. It's New Orleans, you know, and they added an exciting element to the live show. And we kind of all brought our friends together, and we all got along. It was like, let's keep this guy around. This is going well.
Yeah,
it sounds like Dave Matthews Band. They've got an eclectic mix of instruments, violin and saxophone. And when the band was first starting, I had an interview. I'm like, and so why'd you decide to add this? He's like, we didn't. We just kind of jammed together, and it just kind of fell into place, and we're like, this is all right. Let's stick with that. You know, so sometimes it's very organic, and that's when you a lot of times get the best stuff, which is really cool.
So.
Nice.
I think so.
By the way, I want to mention this. So I'm wearing this shirt this morning, and when I came in, Casey goes, "You wore that on purpose, didn't you?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" It's for Brandywine Branch Distillery, and on the back, you see here, it says, Revivalist Gin.
Wow.
And Casey goes, "You wore that on purpose, right?" And I go, "No, I didn't. Why?" He's like, "Because the Revivalists are coming in today." I'm like, "Oh."
Wow.
So we had mentioned that on the air today, and the guys from the distillery showed up here, and they brought a care package of some gin for you.
Oh, wow.
To take on the road with you.
You're going to love it. It's top-level stuff.
It's really good stuff. But, you know, being from New Orleans, I just want to mention that real quick. But being from New Orleans, I mean, that's a musical mecca. It's a melting pot of different styles of music.
It's a tasty gumbo, for sure.
There you go. Yeah. So what the local scene around there, is it hard to get into? Is it easy to slide right in and find gigs?
It's kind of easy. That's one of the
call it the Big Easy.
That's why they call it the Big Easy. Yeah,
that is one of the reasons.
It's a great place for a young musician to move to and start working. You know,
it was actually amazing. I think it was a good place because it's not an industry town. It's an artist town. You know, so you know it's a good place for young artists to kind of incubate themselves a little bit and kind of stay out the spotlight. You know, kind of grow that presence and their confidence, and then if they want to, you know, get out there, they can do that. But also they can stay in New Orleans and be perfectly happy.
I went to Jazz Fest a few years ago, and I was struck by two things. The variety of music, which was phenomenal. You could go from one stage where Jimmy Buffett was playing to the Blind Boys of Alabama were on the other side.
Yeah.
And then the food. And you go from incredible music and incredible variety and just one great smell coming from one corner to the other. Have you guys played Jazz Fest or been a part of it in the past at all?
Oh, yeah. We've done it many times.
Yeah. It's great, isn't
it? Love that festival. Yeah. That's probably my favorite festival.
It is hot as balls, though.
Yes. Ooh,
yeah.
Well, you know, you can always swim in the wonderfully clear water around there. Ooh, yeah. I'll tell you what, though, better than Ezra's. You know, they sing the praises of the New Orleans experience, and there is again that, and there's an interesting distinction that you made. It's not an industry town, but it's a musician town. It seems to be.
And
that's. Do you ever see yourselves? I mean, you know. Will that always be, you know, the home office there, or?
You know, for me, it is right now. It's possible that we could move. Some of us could move, but
all seven of us, you know, bought houses there. In New Orleans.
Yeah.
We all met there. We all live there. So that's always going to be, I think, the home base.
Yeah, yeah. Don't fix what's not broken, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are going to get a couple of songs for us. David, I want to ask you before you play the microphone to your left there. Is that for a harmonica, or?
No, it's actually a... It's a really dark sounding mic.
Okay,
and I hook it up through a little thing here that kind of gives a howl into it. It's a howler.
All right, I was curious.
It's a humidifier.
Show them the effect real quick.
Wow.
Sounds like the cone guy in London.
You know, it's just.
That's got some serious sustain to it. It's got a long delay on it.
Yeah, he's got a delay pedal.
There's a reverb/delay pedal. It's called an ethereal pedal.
Okay.
How many effects pedals does an 8-person band drive? Yeah.
We don't actually have too many.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you have a moderate pedal board.
I have a healthy board. Healthy pedal board.
All right.
Well, let's put these instruments to work. Let's see what are we going to hear first of all?
We're going to do All My Friends.
Excellent. All right, All My Friends. By the way, let's mention that the new album is out. That's the song that we've been playing. It is called Take Good Care by the Revivalists. And, Case, you just downloaded it.
The day it came out, I downloaded it. It's great.
Thanks, man.
Front to back.
Thank
you. It's wonderful.
Appreciate that.
All right, so it is the latest. It is All My Friends, Revivalists on MMR.
I can't get a hold of myself. Breaking all the rules, playing games with my health. And my dove said I've gone off the rails. But I know it's okay, cause I do it so well. I'm in my 20s, living reckless. Turn the hourglass over and it's reckless. It's a brand new world, I got a brand new heart. And every day I get a brand new start. I'm in my 20s, not in a hurry. Got a bulletproof chest so you can hurt me. It's a brand new world, I got a brand new heart. And every day I get a brand new start. All my friends when I got no place to be. All my friends take good care of me. They give me high on my side as far as I can see. Yeah. I'm in my 20s, I'm the future, I'm a shaker, and I'm a mover. Got a vision coming from afar, gonna take me back to where you are. I'm in my 20s, I'm getting restless, got some hemp, baby, on my diamond necklace. It's a brand new world, I got that brand new heart, every day I get a brand new start. Wherever I go, they bring me home. I got no place to be. Oh, my friends take good care of me. They give me high on my side as far as I can see. Yeah. Breaking all the rules, playing games with my health. And my thirst said I've gone off the rails. But I know it's okay, cause I do it so well. All my friends take good care of me. Wherever I go, bring me home. But I got no place to be. All my friends take good care of me. They give me high on my side as far as I can see. Yeah. Oh, my friend. Wherever I go, bring me home. Oh, my friend. Yeah. They give me high.
On 93.3 WMMR, we have Zach and David who are in our studio. They're going to be in town performing at the Met. That's not till January 12th. Tickets are available at themetphilly.com. Their new album is called Take Good Care. That song is All My Friends. And David, when you released that, did any of your buddies come to you and say, you were talking about me, right? I'm one of your friends, yeah. And yeah. Clearly you wrote that song about me,
yeah,
right?
There's a few.
Yeah.
You know, what is it, though, about you, like, you want someday a song to be written about you? There was a rumor that there was a song written about a girl who lived in the town that I'm from, and it was, you know, a huge success, but it was, like, cool that, like, hey, she might be the girl who lives on 8th Ave, you know? Like,
oh,
you just,
yeah.
For whatever reason, it's like you want to have a song written about your life someday.
I think that would be cool.
Well, yeah. When you're looking to get
a song about me, Zach.
Well, that's got to be the move when you're a young musician starting out and you want to get laid. It's just, oh, yeah. That's, by the way, that's about you. Yeah. Oh my God!
All right, so let me ask you what might be a really personal song on the new record, which is called "Hate to Love You," and it's a beautiful song. I love it, but it seems like it's a painful song, and it talks about somebody that you love, but you hate to love that person. And I, is there a, can you share the story behind it?
I mean, you know, it's, I think it's just at the time, you know, that was just exactly how I was feeling. You know, I was just caught between what I probably should do and the way that I felt inside, you know, so it might. Without divulging too much information, honestly, like...
It was a past relationship.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, is that person Kathy?
It's actually Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee, I feel
that's
you, man.
Bag, y'all.
I have that same yearning.
It's an interesting question because, like you said, that's how you felt at the time. You wrote this song. It had an emotional connection to you. You use this as an out, you know, a release maybe to get those emotions out and translate them into something creative and constructive and cool. Yeah. Time goes on. Your feelings have changed. Maybe you feel completely different than you did at the time when you wrote that. Can you still sing it with the same passion,
the
intensity?
Yeah, I think the thing about it is melody in music has the ability to, it's one of the only things I feel like in smell, has the ability to bring you right back to that place.
Okay, well then, speaking of which came first, the melody or the lyrics? Or did they come at the same time?
Came at the same time. How about that?
A lot of times they come at the same time. A lot of times it'll just be a melody, or sometimes it'll just be the words. But that particular one came, it's one of those that just kind of...
I think it's interesting, you know, artists and their different approaches to, you know, putting out their music. Like Tool, for instance, the music comes first. You know, so
and it only takes 10 years.
Yeah. Don't they like take acid and jam all day?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. But from what I had heard,
it's like fun.
Is that the band would compile an album, then hand it to Maynard, and
the rhythm section puts everything together first, and then goes, here's the music. Write some lyrics and melodies to it.
So, yeah,
but we do that sometimes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a very cool thing, and we've talked about it before with other artists. Is that you create something that will then become, in a moment in time, a song someone goes to when they encounter something in their lives. Yeah. And in a way, that is an incredible gift to know that you are sort of passively unleashing this thing that will then, someone's going to go to that, I need to listen to these guys because they understand what I'm saying. Does that ever just occur to you during the process? I mean, I don't know if it's the saying the onus is on you to do that, but it's a cool thing, I think, to have that ability to provide that for people.
Yeah, I think, I don't think, it never really occurred to me.
Before?
Before.
Yeah.
I think now that we get these emails and these messages of people saying these things, you know, I never got any of that before. Before it was just like a jot down in my notebook. Or,
or at a bar, go, hey man, I like that one.
Do you miss that though? A little bit? I mean,
we still have guys going, hey man.
I kind of did that when you guys first came in here this morning. But I do. Like, I really appreciate your sound, and I love all types of music, and you guys have a particular sound that just for some reason totally vibes with me, and I love it, and I appreciate what you guys do. Ask you, as a collaborative effort, how hard that is sometimes when you guys are producing a piece of art, if perhaps you don't like or you don't think a particular sound jibes with that song. How hard is that?
You have eight people.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's challenging, and you know, it's a uniquely collaborative art, you know, being in a band like we are, being in a democratic band, which is why we place a lot of power on the producer a lot of the time. It's kind of like our democratically
kind of get the
elected,
final vote, a lot of times.
Dictator kind of thing. And also it's about valuing being a team player as well, I think. And it's, you know,
and trusting.
Trusting,
that's very cool, because and that's a smart move to sort of, so you have your vision, but you see the ultimate decision to
the
producer.
We exhaust all avenues a lot of times. Sometimes we come back to the original thought, and then sometimes we've found ourselves completely out in left field, which is okay too.
I think with anything that's on any level of art, or you know, so say someone's editing a movie, you can tinker and digger with something and drive yourself into
Who produced this album, by the way?
So we had three producers on this one, which was the first time we've worked with all three of these guys. We have Dave Cobb, did about half the record. He's a really great producer out of Nashville. We worked with And then we had Andrew Dawson, who works with Kanye West and Fun, he's known for. And then Dave Bassett, who L. King and Vance Joy.
Okay. I had watched the documentary. The Avett Brothers put out a documentary on their last album. And Rick Rubin produced that one, which was sort of a departure for them. But it was interesting to me to see the collaboration between and the trust. You had talked about the trust that a band that the artists have in the producer, that they are making the right decisions for you guys.
Yeah, I think it really depends on also like the producer as well. It's like kind of like I feel like I don't really know exactly the style of Rick Rubin, but I'm pretty sure he's not like the guy doing the stuff in Pro Tools.
No, he's listening
to the song.
yeah,
he's going no. That's got to go, more of that, bring that up, completely just take that, take that, get that out of my face,
get that out of my beard.
You have to trust them. But then there's also the guy who's like, at the computer, he's at the desk, he's like building the things, he's
oftentimes
playing,
is the producer. It's just, a producer can bring a wide range of talents.
Yeah.
Do you like it when a producer is a musician as well?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because you trust them a little more, I feel like, just because we...
I'm always impressed when a producer can sit down at a keyboard and bang out the melody a little bit and work with the artist.
Yeah. I like that.
I think it adds to... And he'll probably, or she, will bring an idea to the table that maybe you guys hadn't thought of.
Yeah. A lot of times you can kind of... Yeah, absolutely.
And who's 100%. Your producer, since we're talking about producers here?
What's up?
The three we mentioned, but also in the past, the previous two albums, we had Ben Elman, who is a saxophone player in a New Orleans band called Galactic, and he really understands that sort of band dynamic, being a band member.
Yeah.
And he really kind of let us sort of like be us in a really nice way.
And Galactic, that's a big sound as well.
Yeah.
Galactic.
Yeah.
If you want to see a cool, there's a great documentary called The Wrecking Crew about I've seen it.
Yeah,
oh my God.
All the studio musicians in LA.
When they describe it, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Because you guys were a bigger sound and a lot of musicians in it. Mm-hmm. Those guys were the creme de la creme.
In the California and the LA scene. There's a couple good. If you've never seen Standing in the Shadows of Motown, is a wonderful documentary.
Yes, it's great
about the Motown Detroit session musicians that played on all of those Motown hits. They're known as the Funk Brothers.
Yeah.
It's incredible, and one of the guys like plays piano in like a Holiday Inn in Detroit now. It's unfortunate that really? It was all work for hire. Yeah,
so unsung heroes.
They don't have royalties on it. Or anything.
Yeah.
And then they just got money for the job, and that was it.
Then there's the Muscle Shoals one is really great, focusing on the Swampers in Alabama. And so I love all those.
It's great. Something about a rock and roll or a music documentary is just so compelling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all fans of it, and I'd love to see how it's created. I'm going to ask you guys a question that you guys probably don't even know the answer to, but take a 3-minute song that you guys have on your album. How many hours do you think it goes into creating that three and a half minute song?
It's a wide range.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, you're talking about like the creation of the song and then to recording the song and putting it out.
It could be anywhere from a half hour to like a total of like 40 days.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just kind of depends.
Some just come more natural. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we want to get another song from you. What do you guys want to play?
We're going to do Wish I Knew You.
Of course, that's the song we were introduced to you playing here on MMR. How long did that song go from beginning to end before that was finally finished?
Well, why don't you speak to the writing of it, David, and then I could speak to, the fleshing out.
It was a tune where the chorus and the verse, the first verse and the chorus came like all at once, probably in about, I'd say about an hour or two. And then we took it into the studio, and how long did that take?
I mean, it took a while. I mean, we grooved on it for a long time, and we did a lot of takes of it. And then my memory is also of just shedding it
in practice
spaces for a long time.
Yeah.
That's also one of the advantages, I think, of having a band where everybody's invested in it, is that you could spend 3 hours with each other and not have to worry about wasting money just figuring out a beat or a bass part or something.
And
everyone's kind of figuring out their thing,
and really
getting it.
That's
tight.
Awesome. Yeah. The music industry has been changing, obviously, and then people doing things on their phone, producing things. But this is a real... Yeah. Yeah. This is a real.
It's funny. It's funny. I was sitting on the porch, and I had a GarageBand beat up. So I was just jamming to a GarageBand beat.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, just as like something to kind of keep time,
like a
and
metronome almost.
Just, yeah, a little, but it's a little better than a metronome. Yeah. Just to have a little more fun.
That's
well,
cool.
Well, let's get it. We got Zach and David, the Revivalists, and here they are to play for you on MMR. Wish I Knew You.
Shine like a star, you know who you are. You're everything beautiful. And she's high, high like the sun. The loneliest one is to everything beautiful. But I'll be goddamn, you're standing at my door. Stayed up in the city till the stars lost the war. So Friday night, Holy Ghost, take me to your level. Show me the one I need the most. I need the most. Wish I knew you when I was young. Could have got so high. Now we're here, it's been so long. Two strangers in the bright light. Oh, and I hope you don't. We can share my mood, yeah. Two strangers in the bright light. Wish I knew you. Wish I knew you. Oh, wish I knew you when I was young. Say truth, it's all that you need. And that sound come from the underground. It's all inside you now. It's everything beautiful. But what you running from? And they got you on the run. Yeah. So Friday night, Holy Ghost, take me to your level. Show me the one I need the most. Share my mood.
Revivalist on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. That sounded phenomenal, man.
Yeah, especially at this time in the morning.
I get so mad, though, because, like, I just want to be able to do that. Right. And I can't.
Right.
You know? And, like, don't tell me if I practice that I'll be it. Because, like, there are just some people out there who can't. Right, so not all men are created equal.
You know what though,
and I am less than.
You can dance.
Yeah,
yeah,
I can dance.
I can't dance. Yeah, I can't dance.
No,
no, not all really. Right.
You know what? Neither can Mariah
My
Carey.
My girlfriend makes fun of me all the time. She's like, "Bro, you got to get some new moves."
So, if you would like a dancer for the performance, Casey's available.
Please, right, please don't take dance lessons because that's going to mess with your whole. That's going to mess with your whole thing if you're going out there just like doing spins and stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. You don't need
like,
that.
Mick Jagger took dance lessons. It's like, dude, just do your chicken. Just do your little chicken. Do your little rooster thing, man. That was working fine. Don't be throwing out these flamenco moves and stuff, man. That ain't you.
Man, that ain't you. Play your strengths. Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys are just kind of out promoting the album right now.
We do have a tour coming up, as you mentioned, in January. We'll be at the Met.
This is a cool new venue that is just...
We've heard... Everyone's been telling us.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It looks phenomenal. You're going to love it.
Cool. Yeah, we're excited.
So will the tour kick off before that, or are we at the beginning of your tour?
Right at the stop? Yeah, okay. Right. Real close to the top of it, yeah.
All right, excellent, man.
And Philly in January is a great time of year to be
here. Oh, you're going
to
love it.
I just love it. So leave the warmth of New Orleans.
Bring your galoshes.
We've been coming to this town for like 11 years, okay, though, by the way.
So you know.
The
played first, one of our first shows, yeah. First,
yeah, we used to book our own tours, and we opened up for a bluegrass open mic at Fergie's Pub. I don't know if you're familiar with that place. Fergie's. That was Fergie's our first Pub. Time playing in Philly, yeah.
So the Met's an upgrade.
Yeah, a little bit.
Look at you now. Very cool.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad you guys could come by today, and we love this relationship that we're building with you guys and the radio station.
It's a serious relationship. We're committed. Thank you.
Write a song about it.
I got you.
Write one about Kathy. Yeah.
You got to do it. All right. Thank you, David and Zach from the Rays.
Thank you. Thank you.
New album, just to remind you, is out, and it is called Take Good Care. You will want to get that. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.